Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm bringing you Aldrin Resources and Scott Caithness, the Managing Director. ASX code is AL8. These guys are just about to start drilling on their project over in the good old US of A. Some exciting areas to look at. Scott joined them in April of this year. He's pretty excited, ladies and gentlemen. So he and I have been talking a little bit about the project, and I really want you guys to understand all the work that they've been doing on their projects to date and what the future news flow will be for them. Scott, welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you. You're based in Melbourne, you poor thing.
Thanks very much, Kerry. Yeah, Melbourne's an interesting place to be based these days, but we're on the up. Things are starting to improve, so we're expecting to be able to get out soon.
No, I hope so. But look, let's talk about Aldrin. Before we get into detail, you joined them in April this year. Give me an overview, or give us an overview of the projects and what it is that you're doing at the moment. Just a brief one, then we'll get into it.
Yeah, look, Aldrin's projects are all located in Utah in the USA. So the company listed on the ASX back in 2017. So it's focused on copper gold. So it's basically got its headline flagship project is Detroit. The Detroit project, which is has got porphyry potential and also gold potential. And then it's got the Frisco project, which was joint ventured out to Rio Tinto a few years ago. And then it's got a couple of early stage projects as well, Valley Crossroads and also White Mountain, which is an epithermal gold target.
Well, I want to start with Frisco because historically Frisco got people a little bit excited, and that was originally an Aldrin project, but now it's joint ventured with Rio. What are the terms of that joint venture and what do you see for the future? Do you guys need to put any money into it? Tell us about how that's working.
Yeah, look, Frisco is a project that was Aldrin's headline project when it first listed. It's a porphyry, basically a porphyry or a copper gold target with a porphyry potential, which is what attracted, I think, Rio Tinto to the project. So it was farmed out to Rio Tinto back in 2019, late 2019. Mm-hmm. The basic terms of that were it's a 10-year option agreement, and Rio has to spend $30 million over that 10-year period. So it's a significant deal. Rio's been actively exploring on the project for the last year and a half, 2 years. They've drilled a few drill holes. They've got some interesting results out of that drilling, primarily for in breccia pipes, for one hole that they drilled 41 meters at nearly 2% copper with a 0.6 gold credit as well. So from an Aldrin perspective, very interesting targets, but obviously Rio's a big company, so the porphyry is the main game for them. So at the moment they're doing a drone aeromag survey over the area, and we should start to get the results of that shortly in the next month or so.
You said that it's an option agreement over 10 years. They've got to spend $30 million.
That's right.
What's Aldrin's involvement apart from the fact that if they don't spend the $30 million, it comes back to you? Or from a shareholder point of view, I'm like, do you guys need to spend any money on it, or is it all Rio money? And how much percentage do Rio have of the project?
Yeah, it's all Rio money. So Aldrin's got no expenditure commitment on it. At the end of the deal, it gets them to 70%. So obviously at the end of the deal, then if Rio go forward, Aldrin's left with 30%. And obviously we'd have to make a decision, but that's a fair way down the track. Yeah. At this point, Rio haven't earned to the first stage. So the first stage is $6 million worth of expenditure over 4 years. For 55%. So at the moment, it's basically it's in Rio's hands. So we're just obviously getting regular updates from Rio in terms of how that exploration is going.
And they're pretty happy with that?
Yeah. No, they're happy. They're progressing with the work. Okay. And that's good.
All right. So that's Frisco. So we'll put that over there because there's no expenditure from Aldrin, and Rio have got to spend 30 million over 10 years, which is great because you don't have an shareholders of Aldrin don't have a monetary exposure to that. But if Rio happens to find something pretty exciting, you've still got a 30% exposure.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, if Rio find a Rio scale target, which is, you know, one of the world's, you know, the world's largest copper deposits and or gold deposits, whatever it might be, then that's fantastic from an Aldrin perspective if they do that. You know, we'd be very, very excited.
Well, it is exciting, but we can park that because Detroit's what you're focused on at Aldrin at the moment. So talk to our viewers about Detroit, because at the moment you've announced a planned drilling on the copper gold targets at Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit's really exciting. And look, from my perspective, as somebody new to the company, it was certainly one of the projects that attracted me to joining the company to start with. So I really like Detroit. Look, I think Detroit for Aldrin, one of the exciting parts about Detroit is we've got the entire district. It's a porphyry copper gold district. And Aldrin has spent the last 18 months effectively consolidating that district. So we got a portion of it back in 2020. And we did a little bit of work on that. We drilled a few drill holes into a gold target called Mizpah and around that target. And we also did some ground magnetics over the portion that we had. We realized that the opportunity was a lot larger than what we had. And so in February this year, we actually completed consolidation of the district. So we basically now have 25 square kilometres. So we've got an entire porphyry system. We've got the central core intrusive body, and also we've got the outer rim, which has got a lot of gold potential. So to put that in perspective, Detroit was a district that was mined back in the late 1900s. And there's over 30 old mines, copper and gold mines in that particular district. So there's been some very significant work done by the old timers, and also the ownership over the years. The interesting thing about it is the ownership over the years has been quite disparate. So no one company has actually consolidated the district, as far as we're aware, since back in the 1900s.
Oh wow!
So it's almost like Aldrin's got, you know, first mover status for modern exploration over the entire district, which is very, very exciting. So we've been steadily working on that project since March this year. And over that period, we've completed stream geochemical sampling. We've done rock and soil sampling. We've also completed ground magnetics and also IP. And exactly as you said, we've just started drilling our drilling programs. So we've identified multiple targets within the area.
And you haven't really been going out. You've been quietly, as you said, you consolidated the district back in, I think you said February. You haven't really been talking about it. It's almost like you wanted to get all the ducks in a row and make sure you were getting that geochem done and the soil sampling so that you had a strong foundation. How much have you been doing, I guess, to support the project? And what is it showing you, Scott? You're a geologist by background. Mm. You've said to me in the past that you're really excited by Detroit. I want to know from, I guess, a shareholder and an investor point of view, with your experience, why are you so excited about Detroit?
Yeah, look, I think the main thing with Detroit is, and the thing that excites me about it is, obviously there's the history and the geological setting. Yep. There's the fact that no one company has had it, and some good companies are there. I mean, we have part of our partnership, one of our joint venture partners is Freeport. So they had a portion of it at one stage, and they're very interested in, you know, we're having good communication with them all the time about what we're doing. So you've had some significant exploration companies have been involved in it, but they've never had the whole thing. So for me, the thing that's particularly exciting is nothing out of our exploration that we've done so far has downgraded the potential of the project. So each piece of exploration has continued to build the story, and it's been positive. So for example, you know, obviously we did the stream geochemistry. We've got some very, very significant gold and copper results coming out of that stream geochemistry. With the rock chip sampling, we've got...
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you tell us a bit more about the stream geochemistry? Have you The results out yet, or are you not allowed to?
Oh, yeah. No. The results were released 6-7 months ago.
There you go.
So we have significant copper anomalies draining both to the north and south of the porphyry, the mapped porphyry, the historical porphyry. We also have significant gold anomalies, again, to the north and also to the south, and also around the Mizpah project as well, draining from those areas. So it was very detailed survey. It was a BLEG survey, bulk leach gold survey. It was very, very sophisticated survey and picking up very low levels of gold detection as well. So that was very good. The rock chip sampling that we've done, we collected our rock chip sampling over some of the project areas. We've got up to 9 grams per tonne in some of our rock chip samples. We've also got up to 3% copper in some of our chip samples from some of the prospects, some of the peripheral areas. The Mizpah project, we got up to 7 grams per tonne. We know that there's historical samples collected that go 25 grams per tonne. Further north in our area, an area that we're not focused on at the moment, we know the US Geological Survey in published data collected samples that went up to 100 grams per tonne. So there's jasperoids, mapped jasperoids over the prospect area along.
Hang on a second, what's a jasperoid? I'm not a geologist. You start getting technical on me, Scott, and I'm like, what is a jasperoid?
A particular rock type that's associated with a particular style of deposit, which is in the Carlin Belt, which is the neighboring in Carlin and Battle Mountain belts, which is neighboring belts in Nevada. So then after we completed the geochemical work, we have also done soils, but we're still awaiting the assay results from the laboratory for the soil sampling. So we expect that we will get some significant soil results. We have done handheld XRF on some of those soils. We know that we've got anomalies, but until we get the final assays, we really like to see those assays before we put something out there in terms of the soils and before we can really make too much sense of them in terms of the modeling. After we'd done all the geochem, we also did a ground mag survey over the area. We got a classic porphyry response for our ground mag survey over the what's referred to as the basin porphyry target. Mm-hmm. Within that, we had a central highly magnetic core, which we interpret to be the potassic zone and potentially the main target. And then we got a rim around that of low magnetics. And then we got an outer rim, which is very low magnetic. I mean, the signature is classic porphyry signature. That central core that we've got, that's been modeled at 500 meters long by about 300-350 meters wide by extending to a depth of over 500 meters. I mean, where does it start, Scott?
How deep is this port? Like, do you have to drill very deep? Because you're starting the drilling, and I'm trying to figure out how do you get.
Okay, we have a hole designed to test that core, which will be a 500 meter deep hole. The target's not 500 meters from surface. It's actually about 100 meters from surface, but we're going to drill right down through the central portion of that magnetic feature. Porphyries are a little bit more complex. I think there's a perception out there that it's just one big uniform mass of an intrusive body and there's the porphyry. They're a lot more complicated than that and a lot more complex. And this is a complex, this is an intrusive complex that we have. It's not just a single body. So once we'd done the mag, we also did IP lines, again, focused on porphyry. And we've come up with a significant chargeability anomaly that basically wraps right around the magnetic anomaly as well. So, and that just to give you an idea of scale, we're talking about 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers. It's a very, very large target. And the interesting thing about, particularly with the IP, and the chargeability is we picked up a number of targets on the margins of the IP anomaly, the chargeability anomaly over the basin complex, which we interpret to be distal disseminated gold targets. So they're associated with old gold workings. And some of those we've got gold grades, as I say, up to 9 grams per tonne, 6 grams per tonne in our surface sampling. So we've got four definite targets for gold sitting marginal to the main porphyry. So the really interesting thing about Detroit is that we've got the whole system.
Right.
We've got the copper target, or the copper gold target in the middle, and then we've got the gold targets around it. And our most recent acquisition has been through option again, has been the Drum Gold Mine, which sits and adjoins the southeastern corner of our tenement, which is one of Detroit's one of Utah's more significant gold producers. It produced 125,000 ounces historical production, all oxide, in two adjoining pits, each pit about 600 meters long by 400 meters wide by about 60 meters deep. And we've just acquired that. So we're just putting the information together on Drum at the moment.
When did you acquire Drum?
Oh, literally a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Hot off
the press is Drum. Now, this is a former gold mine that they did have 100. What sort of grade are we looking at? What sort of depth are we looking at? What are you at Aldrin, having just got this? Is it within the Detroit district? Is it still part of that district?
Yeah, it's basically an area that we've had our eye on for quite a while, and obviously it sits within the Detroit district. It's about 3 kilometers from foot to 4 kilometers from the porphyry center that we've got, from the main porphyry. So, and in between that, we've got the MISPAR project as well, which we put together the old data on as well, and that's got significant potential as a distal disseminated gold target as well going forward. So one of the holes that Alderon drilled, which was about 300 kilometers away from the center of the old drilling at MISPAR. So MISPAR again was something that was drilled in the past. It had about 150-170 drill holes into it. We've modeled that, and obviously it's not JORC compliant. It's old data back from the 1980s. But we estimated it had potential exploration potential based on what was done in the discrete area for 50 to 70, 80,000 ounces of gold. But we drilled a hole that was about 300 meters to the north of the old work, and we got an extensive intersection of low grade gold, about 0.4, but within that we also got a higher grade patch of 7 meters at about 2 grams. So all that it's indicating is there's more to the system than what was done in the old days. The old days only focused on near surface oxide, and that's the same at Drum.
Yeah, and there's correct me if I'm wrong here for those people listening. Has there been, when was the last drilling done? I mean, you've got this district now. Mm. Has there been any because technology and drilling and all this or so has changed a lot over the years, especially in this century, I guess we'd say, and even in this past decade. When was the last serious work done in this area?
Again, it comes back to that issue of the work was done in bits and pieces by different companies. So, for example, we have a partnership. As I say, one of our partners is Freeport. Freeport drilled a hole, which was outside of the main target area that we're looking at focusing on. So it was outside the porphyry because they didn't have the porphyry target. So there have been bits and pieces, but historically, if you look at most of the work that's been done that has been, let's say, coherent, testing a clear target, there was an oxide copper resource is just marginal to what we're looking at as being the porphyry copper. It was drilled in the 1960s. We have some information on that, but we don't have all the information. So we're aware that there was a low grade oxide copper resource, which was just off on the eastern side of our main copper target. The MISPAR project was drilled in the 1980s. As I mentioned, there was about 170 drill holes into that, into a very discrete area, about 300 metres square. And Drum was drilled and mined in the mid-1980s. It ceased operation in 1989. And as far as we can tell, it hasn't been touched since 1989.
So who's been holding all this ground, Scott, and not doing anything since 1989? Heavens.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I look at Drum and I sort of go, Okay, well, if that was an oxide copper resource in Australia, it probably would have had four or five generations of work over the last 30 years.
Yep.
Since it ceased operations. From what we can find, nothing's been done on Drum since 1989. So wow. There are a lot of drill holes into Drum. We think we've found about 450 drill holes, average depth 40 metres. We've got data on about 380 of those. So we're in the process of compiling all that data, putting it all together. We'll model that data and just see what we've got. Again,
just give me a last, because we're running out of time,
yeah, sure.
Scott. Sorry, because there's so much to cover here. I want a visual. I'm a visual person.
Sure.
This district, how big is this district?
Well, the district itself, the targets that we've got in terms of the porphyry is probably about 5 square Ks. That's the main porphyry target.
Yep.
But in terms of the district, it's basically what we've got. It's 25 square Ks, which is the area that we've got.
Okay, and lots of work to do in there. You've got some geos on the ground over there doing some work.
Yeah. Oh, look, we've basically got a team in the US. So our vice president of operations is in the US, and we've got a team of geologists working obviously for our drilling program, also putting the Detroit data together. The really interesting thing about our geologists is we've got ex-Newmont veterans. 30-year ex-Newmont veterans. When we acquired the Detroit ground, they actually wanted to come and work for us. They were keen on these areas when they were with Newmont. And they actually they're keen. They wanted to work on these projects.
Are they working on these projects now?
Yeah.
So 30-year veterans of Newmont that knocked on your door and said, "We love this ground. Can we come and..."
Yep. Yeah, very interesting.
Very interesting. There's going to be a lot more news flow coming forward, I'm sure. But for today, we've run out of time. I'm sorry, Scott. It goes very quickly when you've got a lot of news flow coming up. But Aldrin Resources, ALH, is how I always finish my interviews. Scott, get ready. Three reasons why you think investors should be sitting up and taking notice of ASX code ALH right now.
Look, I think the first thing is we've effectively got first mover status over a whole district. That's got significant, porphyry copper and peripheral gold potential. So, that's an outstanding position to be for a junior company. That gives us multiple opportunities for discovery.
Yep.
I think that point about our team, we've got 30-year Newmont veterans that wanted to work for us. They were aware of this project when they were with Newmont. I think they were keen to get Newmont involved in the project, but they wanted to work for us. So, that's pretty exciting from our perspective as well. I think probably the final thing for us is we've got a market cap of 17 million. We've only got 425 million shares on issue. We've got lots of upside in terms of our potential going forward. So, it's really an exciting time for us with the drilling coming up. We're really well positioned.
Fantastic. Thank you, Scott, for talking to me on Small Caps today. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They're only just getting started. They've laid the groundwork. They've been quietly doing this. They've not been out, jumping around and talking about it. They've laid the groundwork. They've got those veterans in there, those 30-year veterans from Newmont. Drilling is just about to get started, and we all know, when does it get exciting? When the drill bit gets into the ground. Scott Caithness, Managing Director of Aldrin Resources, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks very much, Kerry.